thing.
If Joel is paying attention, we'd have three votes.
Three votes for what?
Three votes. They wouldn't have to, we wouldn't have had to have a little disagreement.
Yeah.
Joel could have just broken the tie.
I did enjoy the. I did enjoy the fact that we were. I really enjoyed the fact that we were having this big argument about who's going to win, and then none of your roller coasters worked.
All right.
You ready?
On. Moving on.
3, 2, 1. Welcome, everyone. My name is Joel Wright. I'm the host of Devon Dice, the podcast, and this is the episode of Post SM Podcast, because I forgot what number we're at to, so give up. Recorded on Wednesday, the 29th of October, 2017. Joining on the podcast tonight is the infamous fashion guru himself, all the way from America, soon to be known as Professor Michael.
Hello.
Also joining us on the show, our equivalent to the Jason from the Dice Tower, Dr. Lewis.
Hello, hello.
Not so long an intro for you, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. Who's Jason from the Dice Tower?
You know, little short Jason.
Oh, good. Thanks, mate. I'm taller than you. All right.
But he suffers with AP and takes too long with games. Tonight's show, we'll be talking about all the games we played, seen, demoed, brought, carried, and walked all the way from the Spiel Fair itself, held in Essen. Thanks should go out to us for bringing back your Alpalinos.
Altiplanos. You can never say that.
No, Altiplanos. Thanks should go out to us for bringing back your Altiplanos for our sponsor, meeplescorner.co.uk, to send to you.
Yeah, they were heavy.
Have you mentioned we're on the English channel?
Yeah. Oh, yes. This is live recorded on the DFDS ferry, traveling back from Dunkirk to Calais.
In the middle of the English channel.
In the middle of the English channel.
Which is an international transmission.
Rolling around like some barrel out on the open waves.
Yeah. So there's a lot of noise in the background. It's not us making tea or anything.
It could be snoring. There could be kids.
A lot of kids.
And there might be a lot of beeping. It's quite noisy.
Yeah.
But yes, we are on our way back from a very long weekend.
We're not live. Recorded. Recording.
Very long weekend away.
Yeah.
And the three of us didn't kill each other yet.
No.
Michael might be on the verge.
We've got 5 more hours.
We've been bullying him all weekend. That's his fault for bringing work with him.
Exactly.
All right.
He comes to a game event and has a paper to write.
Let's talk about games.
Yes, we are on our way back and we have just been to the Spiel. So, guys, who wants to kick us off?
What are we going to do? Should we do a little round of...
First impressions. What did you think of the Spiel, Jill? First time? Come again?
I thought it was going to be our conclusion, but anyway.
All right.
It's been...
Preview.
Not as big as people made out, I thought.
Really?
I thought it was big.
I didn't think it was. As people were saying, it's epic. It'd take you all weekend to get round. And I didn't think it was as big as it was made out to be.
Okay, I mean, I guess it depends on what detail you go into. I mean, you can walk around and see everything quite quickly. But if you're truly interrogating and trying out games, that'll take you more than the whole weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, the truth is we spent 4 days. Mm. And you could cruise around all of the hallways looking at things here and there. But I can say that I really... barely scratched the surface after 4 days.
Yeah, I agree. Barely I could spend another week there and I still
Absolutely.
Wouldn't have seen everything.
Absolutely.
Tried everything.
And it was crowded.
It was very crowded.
Yeah, God.
I mean, I think Saturday was ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, at the height of it, on Saturday, you walk through halls, oceans of people, shoulder to shoulder.
That's morning.
Moving at a snail's pace. I mean, that's at its worst.
Mm.
Most of the time, it was fine.
Not a day, but it was good. It was fine.
You know, I think the reputation for being crowded, busy, is well deserved.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I really noticed about it was very much a trade fair.
Mm.
There wasn't really anywhere to, you know, go and game with your mates. Well, there isn't anywhere to go and game with your mates. You know, you can go to the stands and play lots of games, and lots of the stands had good places you go and sit down, and then you just try all the different games you want, and people would show you how to do them. But there's no way you could sort of go and game with people and meet people. I guess the kind of closest kind of got to that was, I guess, the sort of Bonk and Class kind of stand, because they had a bit going on. There's a lot of people chatting, lots of games, and and the game itself encourages sort of different groups to come together. Okay. So that's the kind of social, hub.
Very different from a convention, and even in the hotels at night. So most of the gaming goes on in the hotels and the hotel restaurants and bars in the evenings. But even then, that was really different from the convention experiences that I've had in the past. So even though you might be in a room full of people playing games in a hotel lobby or hotel restaurant, everybody's really off in their own corners with their own friends. There's really not a lot of mingling, the sort of things that you'd see at a convention.
Yeah. I think we did try a couple of times, didn't we? People who came over to look at our games, we asked them if they wanted to play a couple of times, and they said, oh, no, I'm going to bed, or oh, no, I'm off to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, yeah.
No.
All right, well, let's talk about us.
Let's talk about Essence. What are we going to do? Are we going to go for the...
Going to travelling?
What are we talking about there?
Travelling?
What, travelling there?
Yeah.
And back?
How much of a mess up it was?
Yeah.
How early in the morning it was.
Unfortunately, I had a rather important exam that clashed with the travelling timetable, so I wasn't free until 2 in the afternoon on the Wednesday. And just don't let Joel or Mike try to imply that that was the reason that we ended up being late. Because
It was.
Because despite me saying I was ready at 2, they didn't arrive at my house until 3 to pick me up. So there's a good hour lost there.
The thing was, if he didn't have his exam, we would have left early in the morning.
In a way. So we arrived there very, very late.
Yeah, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning we arrived at the hotel.
Yeah.
Mm. And then
it was a tired
we were up again. We were up again at...
8, 7-ish.
Thanks to German efficiency and engineering, we got there at 4 in the morning. Nobody around, but the hotel was controlled by a robot. Robot-controlled hotel. Yeah. We got a room. We were sleeping 10 minutes.
We thought we were going to be sleeping in the car, and then we opened the lobby door, thinking we're not going to be able to get through this, and there's this little machine on the side.
that held onto your credit card.
Maybe thought we'd lost my credit card.
We're not letting this go into you. Put that PIN number in.
I was so tired at that point, I was going to cry.
So yeah, that was quite interesting. It was like self...
I don't think we talked to a member of staff in the hotel the whole time we stayed there.
No, it was like self...
Self-check-in.
Self-payment. Automated hotel, isn't it? Like, so
completely, yeah.
There
was someone at reception. I don't think we talked to them once.
They just told us to tidy up.
In fact, I'm not even sure there was a real person.
It's a hologram.
So that was quite an experience, a self-check-in hotel.
Right.
The hotel had a good, like, gaming area, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And the room was all right. It was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yes.
So what about, let's talk about, Joel, what were your top 3 games that you played over the last 4 days?
Top 3. So
start with 3.
Only new games.
Yeah.
Totally new games.
Yeah.
Meeple Circus, Photosynthesis, and I should say Boom Bang Gold.
Really? That's coming up there. It's a good game.
So yeah, Photosynthesis I picked up from Blue Orange Games, and it is as good as people are making out to be.
It's very good.
Meeple Circus was surprisingly good.
Yeah, yeah.
At first we were like, oh, how's this going to go? But then when we started playing it, it was like, this is actually good.
Yeah, and even the bits that we saw that were, we thought, oh gosh, this looks a bit silly.
Yeah.
When we actually did them, were quite entertaining, actually. Mm. Even Michael, Mr. Mm. I like trains about boats, games about boats and trains, and I like it to be all serious. You quite enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah, Meeple Circus, fantastic stacking game. I'm not a big fan of dexterity games, but I'll definitely make an exception for Maple Circus. Was that your three?
Yeah, we're talking about boom, bang, boom, boom, bang, whatever. Gold.
Yeah. Over to what they're like.
Take a Beverly. Okay, I can see. My top three. Well, number one, it's got to be Clankin' Space. Clankin' Space. So we didn't think Clankin' Space would be turning up at the convention at all, but it was a surprise shipment. It came in last moment on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. It's stuck in customs.
That's right. Now, if you played Clank before, it's really more of the same. I mean, I'm not as hot on the theme, the space theme. I like the fantasy theme a bit better. But you have to admit that the gameplay, they've really
Wouldn't
done some...
Would you say it's more 1.5 version of it?
The version, exactly. I think they've really tightened up the gameplay in a lot of ways. So there's the variable board. There's just a lot more and different things to do. A lot more different ways to win.
Move around.
And I think best of all, they've really changed the pacing of the game. So instead of leaving you free to just do what you want, there are certain checkpoints you have to do. So you have to go to different parts of the ship first to hack data systems, and then you go into the command module. And really, the pace of the game is really a lot more reliable now. And what's a bit of a surprise is that before in Clank, it seemed that when somebody went to end the game, when they left the dungeon, people still had a long time. They could be very leisurely in getting out. But now, it's changed quite a lot. As soon as somebody gets out, you've really got to rush things. And it came as a surprise. So as soon as Lewis left the dungeon, left the spaceship, Joel and I, you know, kind of took a little time, and we were dead before you knew it.
Well, yeah, you only had sort of one damage each, and you both picked up a treasure deep in it, and then so I thought, well, I've mistimed this, they're going to come flying out with much better stuff based on original Clank, but no, you guys didn't even get out of the command module, did you? Like, it wasn't even close.
You were literally dead
within a few turns. It just absolutely turned, didn't it?
So, big thumbs up to Clank in Space.
I agree, it's a much better game.
But... So I have to rate that as my highest, but I think it probably wasn't the game I was most excited in playing, just because it was Clank 1.5. Number two, Meeple Circus. Yeah, really real surprise there. I mean, the idea of it didn't sound that great. It sounded a bit childish, sounded a bit family-oriented, but turns out that's really part of the charm. It's something that I'd love to play with the family. But it's a great laugh with mates. And there's a really interesting game there, too, other than the amusement factor.
Mm-hmm.
So, number three. Now, this is a real surprise to me because I don't like dexterity games.
Two of them in your top three.
Right, but I put two of them in the top three. Bonk. Bonk was my number three game. So, this is the new game by the
Class people.
It's basically a four-player dexterity game that's set up like a wooden table. There's a wooden ball in the middle, and each person in one of the corners has a ramp that they roll little metal balls down, and they're trying to bump the wooden ball into the goal on the other side. So it plays quickly. It's fast. Lots of laughs.
Needs four people.
Surprisingly good game. That's my top three.
Yeah, and we of course all. Got,
talk about that. You can tell the epic tale next. Let's have your top three first.
Okay, so my top three, I'd say were Photosynthesis in one. Number two was Meeple Circus, and number three, it's top three new games, isn't it?
New games.
Oh shit! I was gonna say Zoo Ball.
Zoo Ball's a new game.
It's not that new.
New to you.
New to you. Okay. So number one for me is Photosynthesis. Number two would be Meeple Circus. And okay, so number three for me is Zoo Ball. Now Zoo Ball's been out for a little while now. It's by Osprey Games. It's a a games publisher based in Oxford in the UK. It's really, really great fun. Very, very quick game. Dexterity type game. Very, very similar to sort of the Catacombs, which sort of involves flicking discs. But the theme is that you're sort of all animals playing a kind of sport, a bit like rugby or American football. And the idea is you've got sort of four pieces represented by discs on sort of a green mat, which is the playing field. And three of them are blockers. One of them is a scorer. And the idea is to get your scorer into the other person's sort of goal area, which is sort of a circular area on the pitch. On your go, you can choose to flick all three blockers or your scorer, so you can never move all of them at the same time and sort of move bits about. It plays very quickly. I've literally just explained to you how to play the game. That's the end of the rules explanation. It's that simple. It's the kind of game that I just really, really like. I've been looking for a while. And it's really good fun.
Cool. So there are our top three games that we played or picked up at UK at the Spiel. And let's go with maybe worst or not so great.
Let's stay on a positive note just for a moment longer, shall we? Let's get the negative. So, Joel, here's a question for you. What was the biggest game surprise for you? This is.
I think.
The biggest pleasant surprise. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I think it has to be one of mine that I just mentioned was Boom Bang Gold.
Yeah.
That was a surprise because we didn't actually sit down to play it. We were going to sit down and play another game I was looking at buying, and that was on the table. So we said, let's just give this a try quickly kind of thing.
It looked like a piece of rubbish too.
it
was a crappy box.
Yeah.
So basically Boom Bang Gold is a box. You use the box as the playing area.
Mm.
And the box is actually quite cleverly set up at the bottom, have a springy bottom. It's filled with little chits that are all hidden.
Yeah, face down.
And go on, why don't you describe?
Yeah. So it's got your box full of loads of little face down, round sort of chits. And the aim of the game, on the bottom of these chits are bits of gold or other little bits. And you're essentially all miners in the gold rush. And you have a physical wooden piece that's
a big, chunky piece of dynamite.
Yeah, that represents a piece of dynamite. It's got a little bit of string attached to it. And at the start of every round, you all count to three, and you'll literally throw your dynamite into the box. And this causes all the pieces to jump up and flip over. And then it's a mad rush to grab as much gold as you can.
Yeah.
You don't have to flip over any more tiles. You can only take the face-up ones. Again, it plays very quickly.
It's a bit of a bum rush to grab it.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Fingers everywhere.
There's a few nice silly things in. So everybody has an animal. Mm. If your animal pops up, you have to yell, "Look out, snakes!" And everybody has to put their hands on their head saying, "Help!" While you grab all the gold. So it's a great kids game.
It was a great kids game,
but we had a great time.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
The audience went and bought it.
We instantly just
absolutely.
Went and bought
That's right.
It was surprisingly good. I think I took 2 minutes to read the rules, didn't I? Because we thought we'd better, because we were trying to play a different game on the table that it was already set up at. So we thought we'd better at least sort of give it a flash so that we didn't get immediately kicked off the table. And then we could get out the game we wanted to play. And it was just really good fun, wasn't it?
It was. But it's the same game for me. So instead of choosing the same, I'm going to choose the same game as Joel, but. To give a different answer, I think the surprise hit for me was the Haba booth.
Mm.
So if you don't know about Haba, Haba is the big German company that makes all of the well-known children's games.
Yeah. Mm. Yellow boxes.
We ended up spending so much time in the Haba booth.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time.
Which made us feel a little guilty because we were taking up a table that probably a few little kids should have been sat at.
We were in the family section.
That's right. We left the low tables for the kids at least.
Only because we couldn't fit underneath them.
We did hide.
It's not as if we didn't try.
We were hiding a game we wanted to play that was for the kids.
Hiding at the tables that the kids couldn't.
The game is called Dragon Tower.
Well, hang on. I'm still talking about the Harbour booth.
Okay.
Right.
Oh,
so the Harbour booth is brilliant.
You just take the mic.
So it's a nice cheery up in space. There are little tables all over the place filled with children and their families. Mm. So, you know, people talk about Essen as being a family gathering. And it definitely, as you can tell at a place like the Harbour booth, All the families have come. They've sat their children down, and there are shelves full of games you can just take over and play with the kids. It's great. Just
grab them off
or
the shelf.
Or play by yourself if you want to hog one of the tables, which we did.
If you're just adults.
So we play a lot, and they've got some nice volunteers who will come along and teach you the games while you play. So all of the children's games we learned from some nice young women. The Habbo Booth, pleasant surprise, in addition to Bang Bang Gold.
Yeah. And the game we actually wanted to play when we sat down to play Bang Bang Gold was a new release from Habbo called Dragon's Turn, which is Dragon Tower in English. And it wasn't that great, was it?
No, I've been eyeing it up to buy for the kids and like me, because I thought it was really cool, because there's a concept of this dragon pulling this rock away and this tower collapsing down if it does pull it away. And that's really.
So it's a big gimmicky piece. Basically, there's a kind of the base of the tower is a sort of little rock that has a little sort of string that attaches to this dragon piece, which is essentially nothing more than a timer. But as when you sort of pull it out, and then when you press the timer, it gradually winds its way back in. Mm. And so as it winds itself back in, it pulls the rock out from under the tower and gives you, it acts as a timer, basically. It's all very gimmicky anyway. Yeah. The gameplay was poor.
And not only that, so not only was it a really disappointing game, but the whole time we were playing, there was a little girl standing next to the table with her hands on the table staring at us with these eyes as if we were holding the candy bar that she wanted to eat. So we finished the game quickly and gave it to her, and she ran off happily.
But the good thing that came out is we all got Bang Bang Gold.
Absolutely.
Boom Bang Gold. But the funny thing was, just as we were trying to set up Dragon Tower, these two Germans just came along, bundled onto a table, squashing us up, then squashing us up against these other four people, playing another game.
For some reason, they suddenly shanghaied us and forced us to play one round of what was it called?
Picassimo. Which was like a Pictionary where you muddle up the picture.
We humored them for a moment, and then they were gone 5 minutes later. It was like a blitzkrieg, that was it.
No, because the problem is, that's when they asked us to have the corner of the table. We were just trying to play this dragon game, and there was a little child who was clearly wanting to get the dragon game off us.
Suddenly there were these two germs blitzing in from nowhere.
It was just crazy. And then not just that. So I was thinking like, oh yeah, okay. Right, we've got to just try and like, you know, just squeeze up and quickly play this dragon game so we can get this game to the little child before she starts crying. And then these German guys insist that we play around with them this game. And then they go, oh gosh.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
And at the end, I literally had to blank them. I felt really rude. They must be thinking like, oh god, they're such rude English people. But it's like,
we had already started,
in the middle of the game, you just literally sat down, pushed your box, moving our game out of the way, and then insisted we play with you. It was really awkward.
But
they were very friendly.
And then to cap off ABBA, we played their last new family release, which is called
Iguazu.
And it's
you know what Iguazu is? So that's the name of the very large waterfalls that are on the border between Argentina and Brazil. Mm. Recommend you go and see them if you ever get a chance. I believe there's a famous quote by one of the American explorers who first discovered Iguazu. And I think the exact quote was, poor Niagara.
Well, thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Ned.
Lewis, a physician and a scholar.
I don't think you've even got anything to do with that, because it's got the picture depicts something like from Avatar.
It does.
It's got blue
Avatar.
People on it. Yeah. It's got weird creatures showcased. Yeah.
It's like a giant chameleon that holds back the waterfall, isn't it? That's a playing area.
Yeah, so it's kind of a cool concept where these tiles slide across, revealing sections of under the water. And then you're
behind the waterfall, isn't it?
Yeah. And you place your gems on these spots, and once one section's full, it moves. Oh, you score and you move, and you might get special tiles. It was all right. I kind of enjoyed it, but I think because Lewis smashed us as usual, we were just like, it's not a game for us.
I didn't smash you, did I?
And it seemed fiddly and complex for a Habbo family game.
It wasn't complex enough to be enjoyable for, you know, if you're playing with an entirely adult group.
That's right.
And it wasn't simple enough that a child could get it.
Yeah.
So it just didn't really tick enough boxes.
I mean, I think it wasn't that the game itself was so bad, but it was just kind of an average game. an average game that was really fluffed up by a lot of gimmick.
Mm. It looked lovely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
And, yeah, it was pure gimmick, which is like a sliding piece with the waterfall that kind of appears as the chameleon. Chameleon or some salamander or something that kind of crawls across the top of the waterfall, and that opens up the water. And, yeah, it's quite, it looks nice, but and the game's not there.
So, Luce, you haven't told us what your surprise of the con is.
Boom, bang, gold.
Choose something different.
What's the big surprise of the con? Give me a second then. Can you pause it a second?
No, carry on.
Okay, you're just going to cut it out. Give me 30 seconds. What big surprise of the con? Oh, what about
polar bears?
That's a good one. Are we saving polar bears, or do you want? Should I bring it now?
You can. If that's your expert.
Was it a surprise?
No, it wasn't.
What about the birds?
Surprise.
A bird game.
That's quite interesting, isn't it? I'll talk about that. But people were about to get
that a surprise?
It was a surprise.
Was that really
Come on,
surprise?
Mike, what are you trying to tell me? What do I need to say?
I'm just trying to help you out here.
A surprise.
What was that?
Photosynthesis is my big one. We talked about it.
Mm.
Meeple Circus. Could talk about the roller coaster game?
Really?
I'll just add that.
Okay, fine. Yeah, sure,
we haven't talked about it any other time.
Yeah,
So I guess my big surprise game was probably Coaster Park. That was a game that was literally sold out within 20 minutes of the show opening, because we went pretty much straight there.
I think it was just sold out.
It was just sold out before we even started. I don't know if it was...
To pre-orders.
Yeah, because it was all pre-ordered, but Joel had pre-ordered a copy, so we got a copy. And we played it, and it's all right. I think the surprise element is the kind of it's quite fun, and I think it plays quite well. And you know, it's a bit gimmicky, but I think the gimmick adds to the game. It's basically a game of Castles of Mad King Ludwig, where you have sort of pieces available to buy to add to your roller coasters. Pieces available to add to your roller coaster that you can sell to other people, or then you end up buying them. The exciting and interesting thing about it is you physically build a roller coaster, and then you have to, at the end of the game, test it by rolling a marble down it. And the marble has to fully get over all the hills and bumps that you've put on it, and you have to hope for the best that happens. And basically, you don't know until the very last second who's going to win. It means that everyone's always got a chance, no matter how bad they feel they've done the buying, because, for example, Mike was dominating with an epic roller coaster that had even paid extra money during the game to test, and it worked first time, every time, and it looked absolutely perfect. It got to the finals, end game scoring, and it didn't make it past the first hill, and then the whole roller coaster was deleted.
The first time I tested the roller coaster, it went perfectly.
I know.
It went perfectly.
And it would never...
And I didn't even bother testing it. What was the point? It was a perfect roller coaster.
You had three tests.
My hubris was my downfall.
Yeah, you bought three tests.
That's right.
You played with three tests, and you did it first time. I was like, Mike, you've got another two tests. Don't need it. It's a perfect roller coaster. It's amazing. And then at the end, it actually mattered. It just didn't work. And there's nothing you could do to get it going. And you ended up with 0 points and coming last instead of winning first. Yeah. So that made it quite interesting.
We can leave at the table flip at the end of the game.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Next topic. Favorite booth.
Favorite booth? Or do you want to stay on games?
Oh.
Let's do worst. Let's get it to
worst.
Sandwich it worst.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
go for the yeah.
Really? So do you want to insult people on your podcast?
Yes.
Well, let's say,
this
okay,
is so bad.
Not very
okay, worst.
Famous game.
This is so bad.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Okay, yeah. So the we all agree, without doubt, that the worst game that we played at the show was a game called Kill the Unicorns.
Yeah.
And it's a new game. I think it's coming to Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It's an auction type game, but imagine that you ruin the auction mechanic by having loads of really weird and annoying powers that just change stuff all the time, and it's all really fiddly. Imagine the most horrendous sense of humor where there's right on the cards that, oh, a unicorn does a fart and jumps into space, or, oh, a unicorn is so scared when you're hunting it, it wheezes itself.
Mm.
That kind of just really dull, pathetic humor. Yeah. It's just annoying.
It was boring as well.
The game itself was boring. You couldn't get any tactics going because things would change all the time because you put out these secret, these secret agendas or something.
Scheme cards.
Schemes. And then, now 3 is equal 1 and 1 is equal 3. So that one that you bid on, it doesn't, it's just poor.
They were very nice at the booth.
They were very nice.
They were very nice. But yeah, it was a terrible game.
It was kind of
unanimous
nice
vote, number one worst game of
the year. Yeah, we all thought of it individually as well, didn't we? It was like someone said it. We all like, said it at the same time.
We persisted through to the second round, and then after the second round, it's like, done.
Did we even finish the second round?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Did we? I can't remember. How many rounds were we supposed to play?
Four.
Jesus, that would have been awful.
So I'm quite glad, because it was something I was thinking when it did hit Kickstarter, if it was good, then I'm like back, but I'm glad
But the art, you liked the artwork, didn't you?
No, I kind of liked
I thought the artwork wasn't too bad. I thought it was mildly amusing, better than the comedy on the cards, but you hated the artwork, didn't you?
Yeah, well, really it was the comedy that dragged it down.
Yeah.
It was just so insipid and so childish.
Yeah, just... Just annoying.
It's also what kind of worse than like what Munchkin's humour is like, wasn't it?
But it's worse than Munchkin. Munchkin's not that bad compared
Munchkin's
to this.
Fine. Munchkin's okay.
Yeah, I mean Munchkin's got a bit. You know, it's a bit tit tat, and I could see. Yeah, it's kind of thing. But don't think, oh, I like Munchkin, therefore I like this, because this is beyond all level. I've given you an idea.
If I was to put it into a category, then I said before, this is a board game coffee shop game. That's that sort of time.
I think that's being really mean to board game coffee shop.
No, it is, but that's what they want. They want the cards.
That kind of sparkle kitties and
something simple.
Kill
but
the kittens,
they think it's
exploding
cool.
Kittens. Yeah. And
I think the game. I think the game definitely has an audience. We just weren't that audience.
Definitely not.
And hopefully, most people aren't that audience.
No,
but
If you are, then enjoy it. Please do. Back
enjoy.
On Kickstarter.
Enjoy.
Have a great time.
So not so great. Mm-hmm. So we didn't hate it. As a couple of these, we didn't hate them, but we just like, yeah, it's okay, or it's like, nah, we'll pass on it.
This is your number two.
So this is Cover Me. This is game being kind of, is it Cover Me?
Cover Me.
Yeah, it's Cover Me. It's being hotly anticipated on the Geek as one of these games you should check out. So we went and checked it out. Yeah. And
the guys at the booth again were loved. In fact,
he was great.
One of the greatest, hosts taught us the game.
Yeah.
And the idea is interesting. It's not the usual orcs and trolls.
Well, should we talk about the joke surrounding the game?
No, we'll pass on that.
I'll drop it in later.
Don't bore the audience, Liz.
Unfortunately, the guy explained. Let me just cover this. So the guy who was presenting the game, explaining the game to us, thought that Mike was a fashionista with his own fashion blog, because Mike was doing something else while we were sitting down waiting for him, and we told him all about this. So he was very keenly selling this to Mike, and Mike the fashionista, and you will like this because you can put it on your blog.
I wasn't in on this joke, so the first thing I said when I sat down was, I'd better not be disappointed.
I think the guy took a bit of pressure.
I can see the beads of sweat forming on it.
So it's another... It's really just a card game.
Yeah.
A kind of take that you're trying trick taking.
Yeah. So the theme is what brought us to the booth. Mm. It's an interesting theme, not the usual stuff. You're building a fashion magazine.
I you say it's interesting, but I sort of find it. I thought it was dull with the theme myself.
Well, what I mean is that. What I mean is it's different, right? Yeah. It's not the same old thing. So that gets its points straight away.
But then, right. I mean, just saying, just because it's an original theme, it's a bad theme. I guess
that's a good attempt. But so I think the game itself was fine. But I think it just seemed a bit too fiddly.
Mm-hmm.
So the cards were hard, the symbols on the cards were a bit hard to read, a bit too small. Some of the production, so there was a track where you track things like the length of hair and the color of hair and things like that.
All things that are in vogue, isn't it? Yeah.
Which, for a fashion game, didn't really...
look very fashionable.
It was all focused on the hair.
That's right.
It's very small.
For a fashion game, it could have been a lot more colorful and vibrant, right?
Mm.
And there was also a component, which was a runway, where you track basically just the dress color. Mm. And it seemed... a bit overproduced.
It's completely unnecessary, wasn't it?
Unnecessary.
I mean, even it had these whole cardboard bits at the side for like rows of people sitting either side. Yeah. Whole separate things that were nothing more than...
So don't get us wrong. We thought the game was fine.
Mm.
We didn't dislike the game, but we thought that maybe the components of the game didn't really live up to the expectations of the theme.
Yeah.
And some of the components were a bit too fiddly or hard to work with.
Yeah.
Could have been better in the graphic design area.
Yeah.
So it wasn't bad. It just wasn't something to write home about, was it, really?
That's right, yeah.
And then what was the third one we said?
Games.
Oh, Mini Park.
So this was... So this was really the only... What we'll probably talk about the Taiwan games booth later is a big... It's a big positive, but this was sort of the low point of that.
It's quite good because it was our very first game we actually demoed when we entered Thursday.
So it was the only free table we saw.
It's like, let's just sit down and play this.
So tell us about the game, Joel.
So it's basically a very small package, and it's kind of like Carcassonne-esque, where you're laying down tiles to create a park, but you're in competition as normal with people, and you just draw up a couple of tiles, and you can pick one of them to play, and then at some point you can pick a character that will be what you score with, and they will come with a hidden objective as well that will work with another character if someone picks it, or it's in play, if someone picks it. It was fine. It didn't really do anything, but it was also annoying that if you pick a character and your hidden objective is another character's not in play, you're going to lose out.
So basically, you're sort of building up this park together, and because nobody starts as a particular, because all the pieces score in a different way, and because nobody starts as a particular character, you're kind of building the park together, and you're kind of trying to twist it slightly to the one you think you're going to get, and then obviously someone else can get that before you. It's been that kind of mechanism has been done before, but I thought that was the only kind of quite interesting part about it, as to when to grab your character and when to just carry on building the park.
But as I said, the trouble with that was it's
those little bonus cards didn't work.
Yeah, it's also automatic. It's been assigned a secret objective kind of bonus
card. Yeah, where you get half the points of another character.
And if your other character doesn't come into play, you've technically lost the game.
So
that didn't really work. It's just another bland game that...
So it was another Carcassonne. Carcassonne clone. And I think the problem with Carcassonne clones, and there are a lot of them, is that Carcassonne works because it's simple. It plays smoothly. There's not a lot of fiddliness. And that's where a lot of these Carcassonne clones, I think, fall down. They try... I mean, you've got to do something different, but in doing something different, they, instead of making something different and interesting but so simple, they add in complication that just isn't any better. And, you know, where do you go with that?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's all three of us are our worst games we've played? Or have you got anything else?
Yeah, I think we were pretty agreed.
Well, there was that Dragon Tower.
Other than Dragon Tower.
That was a kid's game. And
Put it in there.
No, but... 3B. That's right. Actually, it should count because there were some brilliant kid games.
I don't know why we bought
them. So we shouldn't exclude Dragon Tower.
So can I pop to the loo?
Yeah.
Just put that on the podcast. Okay, so shall we move on to the most satisfying acquire that you guys got at the Spiel? So that can be for any reason. It doesn't have to be a game, and it's an acquire, so you don't have to buy it. You could have been given it, it could be for any reason. So whatever makes it satisfying for you, Joel.
So I think one of them has to be picking up rescue polar bears.
Oh yeah.
From the Taiwan board game company. It was a last minute decision. I wasn't too interested until we thought about it and thought about it. I said, yeah, let's go back and check it out.
We wanted to play test it, didn't we?
Yeah, we wanted to play test it, and then the table was full up, and I actually walked away, and these guys stayed behind. And then I stood down and going, I'm going to find out how many more they got left in stock. So I walked back to the stand, and at that moment, Lewis called me and says, yeah, they've only got one left. She's holding it for you if you want it. I was like, oh. So we stood there for 5 minutes waiting for the lady to come back. She said, yeah, this is the last one. So I actually just brought it there and then on the off chance. And actually had my picture taken with the designer, and he was quite happy to have sold out his game. very nice guy. And then we played it in the evening, and it actually is quite pleasant co-op alternative. Co-op pandemic alternative.
Yeah, if you like pandemic, but things are a bit tired with that exact mechanism. It's got a very similar feel to pandemic in that you're all individual characters. You can all do your little bits, and you're kind of combining doing an overall achievement to win the game versus stopping the end game bit, which is sort of rescuing the polar bear.
So basically, you're playing in the Antarctic, and everybody's controlling a ship, and you have the ice that's slowly breaking up and melting, and there are polar bears on them. And what you're trying to do as scientists on your scientific ships are pick up data sets all around the map while trying to save the polar bears from falling into the water and drowning as they overpopulate. So all the while you're doing all of this data collection, the polar bears are just breeding like mad.
Yeah. Like, and
the polar bear cubs popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Till it's so crowded, they're falling off into the water, and you've got to zoom around and pick them up. And it's quite a nice little game.
And the
best part are
the polar bears are little ceramic polar bears in different sizes, and it's like, oh wow, this
really
is
nice
amazing.
Yeah.
And they're quite cute as well. And it's not like they're like kind of cylindrical.
Yeah, it's got like cartoony type look to it,
kind of cutesy.
Yeah,
yeah. Really nice. I mean, not just cheap, crappy little ceramics. They're really nicely made ceramics.
Yeah.
I mean, my prediction is that if they ever reprint the game and distribute it more widely, or maybe if it gets picked up by another company, Western company, we're not going to see the ceramic polar bears. It'll be plastic. So my prediction is this is the only chance you'll get to get a hold of these nice ceramic polar bears.
Of what is quite a really nice little game. And if you like pandemics, it's worth keeping an eye or ear to the ground for it. Whether you'll get it or not is a different matter.
Translation from Chinese to English rule book.
Yeah, the rule book was a bit
dodgy. We made the best we could out of it, and it was all right. It's good.
Yeah.
We meant to go. I went to go and clarify a couple of rules
with
the designer, but he was in a meeting with another board game designer, so I didn't get a chance to do it, unfortunately.
And I think if there's something on the side, I was quite glad I finally picked up cubes for my own board game design. So now I have no excuse not to start it. I now have the cubes, which was the biggest thing that was behind on me. So we finally found that. So, Lewis?
It's a bit of a toss-up. I think probably for me, my most satisfying acquire was I won a competition to get some limited edition beasts for the game Beasts of Balance. For those of you who don't know Beasts of Balance, it's kind of like a dexterity game with an app, and it's a bit like Pokemon meets Jenga.
Yeah.
So you kind of create this tower out of all these different physical pieces, and then you build it on this little plinth, which is wirelessly connected to your tablet, and then on the tablet it's kind of a world that gets created with sort of all animals and beasts in it that you've kind of created by putting pieces on the tower. And obviously when the tower collapses, your world is destroyed. It's a really fun, nice game. I've played it with adults, and you can try and get the highest score, or you can kind of breed the beasts sort of in the app by playing these other pieces onto the tower, which create new beasts. There's a bit like a Pokemon element where you can try and catch them all with the whole breeding of different animals, and you've got your beastery or bestiary where it keeps track of which ones you've discovered, which ones you haven't. I've played it with adults who really enjoyed it, but I've played it a lot with my 2-year-old son, and I think it's the only game I've got that my 2-year-old can handle, and he gets it. I mean, he's not amazing at it, but he loves it. It's a little bit upset if the animals die, but he really, really enjoys it, and even asked to play it quite a lot. It's the only game I have he's ever asked to play, so that's
you can check out my video I did on YouTube for it.
Yeah, check out Joel's video.
On the side note to that, we had a morning with the people from Beasts of Balance playtesting their new expansion that will be coming out for it.
Yeah, so Beasts of Balance is a cooperative game, but they recently did a new Kickstarter in which they released their new expansion, which is called Battle. So it then becomes competitive, and it can be played at 2 or 3 player. We tested both, didn't we? The prototype of both. And it's fair to say the two-player we didn't have a huge amount of fun with.
No, but when we were
then,
free...
But then the guy who was playtesting it jumped in to do it, kind of joined in and went three-player. And we actually had a really good laugh then, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's a bit take that, because you get these sort of deck of cards. But it's quite interesting because the cards themselves have these little chips in. Mm. So when you want to play a card, you sort of scan it on the plinth so the computer knows what's happening, and then it does things in the sort of world, sort of killing each other's beasts and stealing each other's beasts.
Yeah. I think we gave him the most feedback he's ever had on playtesting. Yeah. He was there for ages taking all the things with this is rubbish, this is but this is good.
Yeah.
And
I
then
we were helpful.
Yeah. we kind pleased. Of blasted it a bit and
the two players certainly, yeah.
So,
but that was really interesting, and that's coming out. And I think Beast of Balance is, I think you can buy it. It's kind of hit mainstream. It's one of those sort of little crossovers because it's got an app and things. I think the Apple Store recently started selling it, and John Lewis sells it. But the most interesting thing acquired that I got was they were running a competition every day with the highest score. You could build the tower with the highest score. Got this prize, which were these limited edition beasts. So it's a set of the six beasts that come in the original game. And in their first Kickstarter, as a little extra, you could have your sort of beasts sort of adorned with this sort of tribal type pattern, which makes them look a bit nicer. Makes them, it's not, it doesn't do anything, change the gameplay at all. And I only backed it in the second Kickstarter. And when we sort of asked, oh, can we have the beast from the first Kickstarter, they said, oh, unfortunately, we're not going to do that again, because I think it was a huge manufacturing headache and caused a lot of massive issues. So they weren't doing it anymore, and this was their last few sets from the original Kickstarter. They were giving away one a day, and I thought I'd never get my hands on them, and it's a game I really like and my family really love, and I managed to get my hands on this basically object you can't buy, and I got it for free. Mm-hmm. And the team from Sensible Objects Who Make Beasts of Balance were also really nice, weren't they? Friendly, always saying hi and walk past and things.
Mm.
So that's mine. Beasts of Balance, great. The special edition beasts.
Now, my most satisfying acquisition, and probably the second most satisfying acquisition of the two guys here.
But before you say it, yes, the answer is going to be satisfied with it because it's cheap.
Cheap, as in free. What's the game I'm talking about, Lewis?
Which one? The one that we got as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Boom Bang.
No.
Bonk. Oh, Bonk. Of course.
So
of course, yeah.
The three of us won free copies each.
Free.
Of Bonk.
I want to say one. Enjoyed.
Enjoyed. Enjoyed. Yeah, yeah. But I'll let Lewis and Joel tell that tale after this.
He's
so I'll go to my next satisfying acquisition, which was games from the Taiwan Game Design Group. So you can come to Essen to play all of the big releases from the big companies, sure, but I think even more satisfying is to come and check out what's going on from the obscure company.
Yeah.
So the Taiwan Gaming Group, you know, they had a lovely booth, not the biggest,
Taiwan Board Game Design,
TBD. Yes.
Taiwan Board Game Design, that's right. Mm. And these are games that aren't being distributed in the West.
No. Mm,
so
no.
You're not going to get these games any other place other than going through the sweat and effort of importing them or finding an obscure importer. Well, anyway, they had a really nice booth with about, they must have had 20 games with them.
Yeah.
20 games or more with them. Same number of tables. Every table you could sit down, play the game with somebody sitting at the table teaching you how to play the game. And there were a lot of really lovely and original games.
Mm.
It was quite a surprise. So I ended up picking a couple. One, I don't know very much about, other than I really liked the look of it. This was Village of Horror. It seems to be some sort of hidden identity game with some twists. We'll see how that one turns out, but it was cheap and interesting. We also sat down, Lewis and I, and played a game with it seemed to be a friend of the designer who taught us a game called Songbirds, which is at its heart a very simple trick-taking game with a few additions. I mean, it wasn't earth-shattering, but it was simple. It had some really clever rules. It was thinky, very thinky, with a lot of tactics for such a simple game. And the art on the cards was lovely. You could say this is actually about a lot of the games there.
Yeah.
So the fact that these games aren't games you could pick up anywhere, and the fact that they were, you know, new, original, from a part of the world where, you know, some exciting stuff is happening is what made that particularly exciting for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think this sort of brings us on beautifully to the best booth at Essen. I think we sort of all agreed
and also we all agreed Taiwan Board Game Design were giving out the best bags.
Oh yeah. Without doubt. It was beautiful board game bags.
Except for those AGE bags.
But they were massive.
I know, they were the best, but they were just nice and thick and sturdy.
Yeah, you could take them shopping. Yeah. They had cool designs on the side. Board gamer at heart. And really nice
I think we were deliberately just going back and getting a game just to get a bag.
Well, we got quite a few things from the booth. So I got Village of Horror and Songbirds. What did you get?
My Story and Polar Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get one of the games.
Oh yeah.
Which I probably regret now. Sitting here and Mike's talking about them. I'm thinking I sort of turned them down at the time
because
I couldn't see a place of when I'd play them. But now I'm starting to regret that. I wonder if I should have picked something up. But never mind.
But go on. Why don't you gush eloquently about the dice tower that you bought for €3?
Correct. Yeah. So so I was pretty much after one of the bears because Joel had bought. The polar bears the day before, and he had his bag, which was really nice. I thought that's a perfect board game bag for taking my games down to the pub to play. And I was thinking, I wonder if I could just ask someone if I could just buy a bag. And then I happened to be by the checkout, and the lady, I imagine was the owner, because everyone seemed to default to her about everything, was sort of just happened to point out, I started looking, and there's sort of these little dice towers, and there were these black boxes. You couldn't really see what it looked like. And it said €3. And I thought, dice tower, €3? Maybe what's that about? And she quickly got her iPad out and showed me this beautifully ornate 3D wooden dice tower, sort of with a Japanese design, for only €3. And I thought, gosh, well, I mean, I can't really think when I'd use a dice tower. But, I mean, yeah, dice towers are normally quite expensive, and a dice tower like that for €3 just seemed absolutely beautiful. And I was kind of, just when I was umming and ahhing, she then, before I'd even said anything, said, "You even get a shopping bag." So I was, well, that's it. That was a deal done. I'd have paid more than €3 for the shopping bag, so for the beautiful bag. Yeah.
All right.
So I guess this then brings us on to the best stand.
Best stand of all.
Best stand. I think we all agree.
Where the party was happening.
Yeah. It's very much a sort of party and atmosphere.
The best stand we've all kind of agreed was like Class stand.
The Class and Bonk, isn't it? Bonk's their latest.
So Class, I think I've spoken to before about on the podcast, where you're hitting this little marble ball around with magnets.
We can use a port.
Magnets, trying to get either the ball into the goal at the other person's end, or get magnets sticking to them, or getting there, they make a mistake and put the Class in their goal. The magnet handle thing. So they brought out a new game, which is called Bonk.
Yeah, Mike has already talked us through, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's described it all. And they had a competition running, which I don't know what made us... Well, actually, I'm up for anything, really, until I regret it.
Yeah.
About 30 hours in.
They just sort of turned around and they just said, "Oh, we've got these little temporary tattoos that kids have that says Bonk. And if you just wear it on your forehead for 48 hours, then we'll give you a free game of Bonk." We're like, "That sounds so easy. That's the best thing ever." It's not easy, and it's not the best thing ever. It's an absolute nightmare. You get people constantly staring at you thinking you're weird. And then when you're trying to sleep, it kind of half rubs off, and you're desperate. You wake up in a cold sweat thinking that you've rubbed it all off, and you're not going to be able to get your game, you know, for two nights in a row. At one point, we went out for a meal, didn't we, in the middle of town, and walking around town, and people nothing to do with Spiel were looking at us thinking, I don't know what they thought. Which is three guys with like Bonk tattooed on their heads.
And then we rolled back in on Sunday lunch. It's like, "Can we get a game?" It's like, "Yeah, you can get good."
And we all rubbed it off and like, gave us these games. But they were
totally worth it. No regrets.
I regret nothing.
They regret it.
I think more people took them up on their challenge than they'd planned. Counting on the fact that not everyone would see it through, which I think a lot of people didn't see it through. But the problem was they were obliged to keep the games back. To give to everyone who had the opportunity, and they sold out of both Clask and Bonk. So on the last day, they were just selling nothing. They were just there making no money because the few games that they had left, they had to keep back for the people who were in this competition.
Yeah.
So I think that we were chatting to them, they were a little bit annoyed about that. But I think they were happy. But it was a really great stand as well. There was this really great atmosphere. You know, everyone's playing these games, and like I think, like we commented before, it kind of. Because Bonk in particular, you need four players. Well, there's only three of us, so we were always sort of having to grab someone in or another couple over, and we'd always angle it. So we were on the team with one of them, didn't we? And that meant that we were sort of, you know, high fiving.
We had a great laugh
from
the couple that just was sat next to us trying to play. It was like, come join
us. Yeah, yeah.
They came over. Yeah, yeah. We're having a blast with it.
Yeah,
it was the one booth in the whole fair. Yeah. Where you were really interacting with complete strangers and everybody was having a good time.
Yeah, and then there was always a competition on. They were always like drawing things out the hat. There was a big tournament and
I mean,
big
one
debates
point,
about the rules. And
I walked away from you lot, and then I walked away from you lot, and I was just walking around the cast booth for some reason. I was trying to talk to the guy and get it early, but he wasn't having any of it. And
then day early.
And they got a massive cast set for four players, massive table,
huge,
a standard table.
Like a
And three Germans were playing, and they was like, come play. I was like, all right. So I was just playing four player with them.
You did about half an hour.
Yeah, I was having a laugh with them. Didn't understand what they were saying, or they probably didn't understand me. But we were having a laugh, and it was good fun just playing that. So yeah, best in booth.
Yeah,
really. Yeah, that was by far the best booth, and you know, it was really good fun. And they gave us a free game of Bonk, so that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
I also, while we were there, I managed to find a game of Clask for €35. So I was pretty pleased with that. That wasn't their booth. They were selling it for €50, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a very strange sort of setup for the booth that I got it from, wasn't it? Because they were an American company who had basically imported it from Europe, then brought it back in a container from their shop in America to sell at Essen. They brought sort of four copies and then were selling it cheaper than everyone else by about €20. So I at some point there's some sort of maths error going on there. But who cares?
So I'm going to start wrapping this up because the crowds are getting a bit noisy behind us. I don't know how much this is going to come through. So let's conclude your whole trip, really, in about 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, so I think it's been really, really great event. We've had a great time. A few travel issues, getting lost on the way, catching ferries, loading up the car. But I think it's been a really good event. I've been really impressed. I think I would definitely come again. And I think the thing I picked up most about it is I'd probably bring the family, because that seems to be a very common thing in Germany.
There's loads of kids,
and there's loads of stuff for the kids to do. It's absolutely brilliant. I had a good time, and I was quite amazed that all three of us managed to stay friends throughout.
I had a good time, great time, great to visit, but I have to be honest, I don't know if I would go again, and I'll tell you why. I like these big conventions, but I would prefer to go to a convention with a lot of open gaming and that sort of thing. I mean, Essen is unlike anything else, and you're going to see literally everything that's going on in the world of gaming. There's no shortage of things to see and even do, but, you know, it is very crowded.
Yeah.
It gets very crowded. There were times when we just plain annoying, right? You're stuck in crowds of people. I mean,
people
even though
stop.
That's right. And even though there are loads of games being demoed, I did find I could actually play most of the games that I wanted to sit down and then try out, because there were just too many people and there was just not enough opportunity. I mean, I did end up playing loads of games and checking out other games that I hadn't necessarily been looking out for. So it was still a good time, but it was also a bit frustrating in some ways too. So, you know, if I had limited amount of time in the year to go to gaming events, I would prefer to check out the UK Gaming Expo, or to go to some of the smaller conventions like BayCon. Essen, I won't say I won't go again, but I think it would be further down on the list below those other regular conventions
that
for me.
The big open gaming.
That's
thing.
Right.
That's the really
that's
key
right.
part, isn't it? Because that's why you know the Clask and Bonk store was so brilliant,
right.
because
that's
you
right.
were playing with, interacting with other people and chatting. And even the tattoos that we had to have always encouraged interaction as we were walking around. Loads of people would come up to us and go, "What have you got on your head?" And it starts a conversation. You chat to people, and
that's right. It seemed a bit more of a formal experience compared to the informal experience of usual conventions.
Yeah, it's very much a trade fair rather than a convention.
I think I would have to be on the side of Mike, in total honesty. By Friday, I really wasn't really excited anymore for it. I was here, I was doing it. I kind of realised like this show I should not come to because I have an acquisition disorder and I have to buy everything that's shiny. So it was quite bad.
Very good for us.
It mounted quite a lot of self-control in the end.
You were quite good, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I got everything I had on my list.
Yeah, and then you stopped. You did stop.
I stopped at some point. Then there was some more acquisitions that happened. But
so you didn't buy anything today, did you?
Yeah.
What did you buy today?
Cross the Iron Curtain.
Oh, right.
I'm more excited to go back to UK Games Expo because it has that convention feel. I think also I know it. I didn't know this. I wasn't comfortable. Maybe if I keep coming, maybe I will build that comfortability up and know what I'm doing more.
Especially, if you're someone who really needs the latest things and really likes to buy the latest stuff, like you really thrive on that, and you always know what's coming out, and you always got your head in the game. I can see why it'd be difficult because when you get there on the first day and the first sort of booth you go to is already sold out of a big name game, then you start to think, gosh, well, if I'm not picking up these other ones, so you think, oh, I'll just buy it now, and then rather than sort of just thinking about it for a moment and sort of giving yourself 10 minutes breather, isn't it?
So
it's quite easy to get wrapped up in that when things are selling out, which a lot of things were, loads of things had. Some things on the first day, but a lot of things were sold out by the late Saturday, Sunday morning.
Yeah. I think
it's been great. I think I've had a great trip.
I mean, I would not come again.
Great trip.
And maybe I already am thinking, maybe what can I do for next year? But I wouldn't be fussed. I actually was looking on Twitter, and there's a kind of a games convention going on. That's just open gaming where people meet up and play. And I was like, actually, I wish I was kind of there, playing games constantly.
Well, in Essen.
No, this is in UK.
UK.
So I was like, I wish I was more there because I'm actually playing games and having fun and probably know more people there than here. But now I've come away with a car full of games.
You still knew quite a few people there, though.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was, bumping into people and things like that. I wouldn't not come again. And maybe I will come again next year. I don't know. I'm kind of done it now.
I think you will.
It all depends on money and time and things and everything else going on. But I've already booked a hotel. But
he's not a fool. That's a given.
And probably do things a lot more differently than I did this year.
You know what to do. Yeah.
But so. Yes, it's been a spectacle. It's been different. It's been nice to see and experience and do. But UK Games Expo is my go-to convention still.
Yeah. I had a great time, and thanks very much for organising the trip, Joel. You did all the legwork, sorting everything out.
Yeah.
Having a good time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
So this wraps up another episode of the Dev and Dice podcast. I was planning to bring you more stuff, like some recordings I did in the car on the way home. That didn't pan out too well. They just didn't record. I had just blank audio, so need to check out why that happened. But I would like to put a big thanks out to Lewis for being my wingman on the journey up there and the journey back, because he stayed awake all the way there and all the way back, because I did all the driving because I'm crazy, but I do like driving, so he didn't really need to, but he did, so that was big props to him. It was great journey altogether. We had a cracking time, so big thanks to him, and also Michael for joining us. He was the third peg in it, and he made our trip as good as it was. Big thanks to both of them in the end. And let's wrap this up. This has been episode 41 of the Devon Dice podcast. All of us on the show would like to thank you for listening. And if you want to know more about the games and items and everything else we discussed about on the show, then you'll probably be able to see lots of it on YouTube or the blog or hear more about it. But anyway, it's all going to be there. Big thanks to Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show. Pop along to our Facebook page, Devon Dice Presents, and have a chat with us there. You can go along to at Devon Dice UK, the Twitter page, where you can find out all the updates, what's happening. Plus, it's me that twits on there all the time. Or you can find our guild on Board Game Geek, the Devon Dice Guild, at number 2414. Don't forget our blogging website, devondice.co.uk, and subscribe to the newsletter. I have been your host, Joel Wright, and you can find me on Board Game Geek as Depressed Monkey, and as I said, on Twitter as at Devon Dice UK. My other two hosts were Dr. Lewis Jones and Dr. Michael Verdi. You can't find them on social media, they shun it all. Join us for episode 42, out later this month. Hopefully Sam and maybe Tom will be back, and hopefully I'll be doing another episode with Lewis on the Unhinged podcast, where he's probably got a ton more questions he wants to talk to me about. Don't worry guys, it will end soon, but for now I'd like to say a big thank you and goodbye for this latest podcast, and remember, sometimes it is just worth doing the once. Look out, Essen, I will be back.